Good day, and welcome to the Atajara Wafa Bank full year 2015 results call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Elena Sanchez. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. This is Elena Sanchez from EFG Hermes. I would like to welcome you all to Atajara Wafa Bank's 2015 results conference call. We are very pleased to have with us on the call today the management team of Atajara Wafa Bank, Mr. Mohamed El-Ketani, Chairman and CEO, and the four managing directors, Mr. Omar Bonjou, Mr. Bufker Jay, Mr. Ismail Douiri, and Mr. Talal Belash. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Mohamed El-Ketani and Mr. Ismail Douiri. They will discuss the operating performance of the bank during 2015 before moving to the Q&A session. Thank you.
You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I am Mohamed El-Ketani, and we will present to you our results about 2015. Mr. Ismail Douiri presents for you the activities and the results for this year.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So we have sent you the presentations ahead of time. I hope you all have those in front of you. I will refer to them progressively. A quick review on the macro, and instead of going through all the documents, what's important to note is that while we have an acceleration of growth rates in North Africa and a stabilization in Western Africa, there is a significant decrease in growth in Central Africa related to the oil price level. We also see a slight acceleration of inflation in all the regions where we operate. The monetary policy has been stable in our key market, which is Morocco, with the main interest rate at 2.5%. There was an important change in the way the currency is computed. The dirham was pegged to a basket with a weighting of 80% to the euro, and that weighting was moved down to 60%. The remaining 40 are pegged to the US dollars. So that has had an influence on the volatility of the franc CFA, which is a subdivision of the euro. So for the first year, we have significant currency impact on our footprint in part of our investments. Now, in terms also of fiscal discipline in Morocco, the government has been delivering their promises on reducing the budget deficit, and that has shown significantly in the yield curve, since we had an important shift in the yield curve already in 2014. During 2015, there was just a confirmation of this discipline with the stabilization of interest rates. At a very low level, so the yield curve that you have in front of you is presenting what happened at the end of 2015. There has been a continued shift down early this year in the longer part of the yield curve, with now with approximately 10 to 20 basis points down on the 5 years and 2 year maturity. So it's a very flat and low yield curve currently in our main market. Government debt has been stabilized at 64% of GDP in Morocco, and the investment grade was confirmed by rating agencies. Morocco also declined the offer of the IMF this year to renew the liquidity line. Despite the fact that it was confirmed and offered by the IMF, Morocco did not feel the need to renew it, and this is partly due, or largely due, to the significant rebuild, in our foreign currency reserves. And you have a slide somewhere that translates that. It is slide 9, where we see clearly that after a long cycle of depletion of our foreign currency reserve, we have restored back our balances and have been growing significantly our foreign exchange reserve for the good reasons. So one reason obviously is related to the oil price, so a decrease in import, but another one is related to new industries coming at full speed in terms of exports. These are mostly automotive, and aeronautics, also partly electronics. So we see also the result of the long-term strategy that was formulated by the government in the early 2000s that is now really delivering its results on the economy. I think we can skip the environment in the other markets and focus only on a few elements on page 8, mostly the currency impact, where for the first time the Tunisian dinar appreciated against the dirham. We have been living in several consecutive years of a negative currency impact of around 5% to even, I think, up to 9% in some years. This year, it's a favorable exchange impact on our accounts coming from Tunisia. And as I was explaining earlier, for the first time, a significant impact on the sub-Saharan part, which is mostly based on Franc CFA, which is a subdivision of the euro. So it was down 1.70% from year-end to year-end, and on average, down almost 3% on the year. Going back to the external balances, this has had also a significant impact on loans and deposits in Morocco. While in the early part of the 2010, we were seeing growth of loans much faster than growth of deposits because we were exporting Moroccan capital by depleting our foreign exchange currency reserves, we have seen the exact opposite movement over the past 2 years with a total deposits in the market growing by 6%. And loans only growing by 2%, and this is, it's important also to know that it's also due to a very last minute acceleration in December that we interpret also as the use by several players of short-term techniques to boost their market share. So I would say in January we have seen that loan growth over 12 months, decreased back to decreased by 1 point to plus 1%. Now, another important thing that happened in Morocco is the, say, stabilization of the risk environment. It is still obviously going up, the NPL ratio, this is what you're seeing on page 11, still going up, but we see that there was an inflection point and that it is not growing as fast as before, and in fact it has even started to decrease in the fourth quarter. Don't have it on the graph here, but as of end of September, the 7.47 figure was 7.75. So we're already seeing banks progressively cleaning up, provisioning, writing off bad loans, and we haven't seen any new large topic deteriorate over the second half of 2015, like we were also stating in our guidance 6 months. Now let's go to our IFRS consolidated figures and focus on a few figures. The first notable figure is this very slow growth in total loans at 0.8% that should also be interpreted by looking at the different factors. So in Morocco, there was a contraction of loans, and that contraction is coming from several factors. Some of them are non-recurring and structural, because there was the suppression of the subsidy factor. So approximately 20 billion in loans have disappeared from the system, the overall system, of which we had a significant share. There are also other factors related to the deleveraging of very large actors within the market, in particular in the real estate development industry. There was some, I would say, restrictions in terms of risk policy, at least from our side. There is a number of identified large borrowers on which we on purpose decided to reduce our exposure, and we have started doing that for over 18 months. So it has crystallized or shown clearly in our figures over 2015. And then finally, the last factor, which is still a puzzle for us, is the very low demand of investment loans. So we see some sort of a surprising behavior by large corporates, partly due to the fact that they still have unutilized capacity because they overspent in investment at the late 2000s, but also due to the shift in the nature of the Moroccan economy from an economy driven by consumption and by heavy investments by the government to an economy where growth is coming mostly from the growth in exports, and we don't see large Moroccan actors positioning to take significantly to take advantage of that. I think this is the most significant figure I wanted to comment, but we can come back to that later if you have questions. The net banking income is contracting by 2.3%, and this is again due to something that was expected, and we had already given guidance last year related to the significant shift down of the yield curve that happened in 2014 and that created non-recurring profit from the bond trading activity. Two things that can be commented on top of that. One is that we dampened and we significantly lowered the potential impact of that contraction by continuing to trade intelligently but lower on the lower part of the yield curve and continuing to take advantage of the slope a little bit of the yield curve. Another thing is that because the trade balance is better, we have been able to significantly enlarge our margins in the forex market, whereby instead of having a one-direction market, the market was much more balanced, even intraday, and allowed us to capture wider margins. Another thing that should be noted is that despite the contraction in loans, we have significantly increased the net interest income at 3.4% by working very hard on the financing. On two different topics. One is liquidity, so a significantly improved liquidity mostly in Morocco, and another one is the lowering of the average cost of finance. And then we see also good growth of the net fee income, despite the fact that in Western Africa, we have had a significant negative impact coming from regulation because the number of services, 16 services, have been made free by the Central Bank of Western Africa. So we consider the 4.3% also a good sign of our ability to manage growth in such difficult environment. You have on the next page the split of the growth in net banking income. And what is notable is that the international retail banking would have grown at 5.5% in constant exchange rate because of that negative impact also coming from Western and Central Africa. On the operating income side, we have seen our general expenses continue to grow at a controlled level at 3.5%. And the most important impact is related to the cost of risk. Last year, we told you that we had already built a significant amount of provisions because we continue to be very forward-looking and very careful about the potential deterioration of portfolios. We think this is a distinctive character of Atijari Wafa Bank, and we proved it in 2015, where any bad news that we heard during 2015 was already accounted for in 2014, and so it didn't have any particular impact on our cost of risk. There are also things to be noted, is that this post poster, this general poster and this general, I would say, scrutiny, detailed scrutiny of the existing portfolio on a continuous basis, is now progressively extended to all our subsidiaries, including in Sub-Saharan Africa, where in IFRS terms, we're building additional provisions every time we see a potential risk developing ahead of time, so that we're sure we have as little or as few bad news to announce as possible. The cost of risk has decreased by 30 basis points to 83 basis points. It is still higher than the historical trends, but also as a matter of guidance, we already told you that we don't think we can go back to the old level around 55 basis points in an environment where our largest market, Morocco, is not growing as fast in terms of loans. So there is no more dilution of the risk on a larger basis. On the expense, you also have a split in terms of growth, and you can see that in all markets, we continue to focus on costs and try to control the cost increase. In Morocco, it hasn't been totally possible despite the decrease in net banking income. But in international retail banking, for instance, the cost is significantly controlled despite the strong development happening. On the NPL ratio is moving slightly up to 7.1%, and the coverage has significantly improved by 3.4 points. We don't have a particular target on the coverage ratio. I know you have often questions. It's really a bottom-up approach where we scrutinize on a permanent basis our existing portfolio and put the right provisions based on our expectations in terms of probability, likelihood of default and likelihood of recovery. You also have a split in terms of growth in loans and the different figures. You have a split in the NPL ratio and the coverage ratio of the individual element. One thing to note is that, for instance, in Morocco, the deterioration in the NPL is mostly coming from the denominator more than the numerator. Because in, as a total, the bad loans have only increased by 200 million dirhams. You have a split in the cost of risk by division, and we not only improved the cost of risk in Morocco, but also in the international retail banking, with that cost of risk dropping to 1.1% after a year, 2014, where a number of large subsidiaries have significantly provisioned. So, as a result, we have a net income group share that grew by 3.4%. It is important to note that we have had a slight change in our perimeter because we increased our stake in two of our large subsidiaries, or relatively large subsidiaries, SID in Ivory Coast and CBAO in Senegal. And this added contribution to net income group share is for a total of 101 million dirhams. I think you have the different growth contributions by business lines. The thing to note is the good performance of specialized financial subsidiaries with a 12% growth coming from high growth subsidiaries like Wafa Cash, but also from a rebound from our leasing company after a year where we had a non-recurring tax charge. And then on international retail banking, where the rebound is significant, It is 30%, 31%, but if we take out the perimeter impact and we treat for the exchange rate, it's still a very healthy growth, 17%, which is a validation for us to for our strategy of diversifying early on and entering markets where we not only have the underlying growth of the market, but we also have an increase or a shift in the banking penetration of the different countries. ROAs have been constant in most geographies, with a slight improvement in international retail banking. And we have also all the different contributors on page 24 for the growth in the contribution and the growth of that contribution. So maybe one additional element on the regulatory ratios, where on page 27 you can see our capital adequacy ratios, both on the individual, the parent company, and on a consolidated basis with the minimum requirements. As a matter of, or for your information, we're still in a conversion to full implementation of Basel III in 2019. So we keep track of those ratios, but also look forward at the implementation, with still the confirmation that at the current profitability level, growth of our different markets, and the pace of potential acquisitions and our dividend policy, there is no need for additional capital to comply with the full implementation of regulation by 2019. There is also the liquidity ratio, the new liquidity ratio, which is the LCR under Basel III, where we're way ahead of the current target at 60%, that will be progressively raised to reach 100% in 2019. And then to finish with, we have again drawn the share performance compared to the general index, with a continued outperformance of our stock in 2015. Unfortunately, it's in a negative territory, but much less than the market. And if you look at the general outperformance over a long period of time, we're pleased to see that the market has rewarded our strategy by an outperformance of 11 points over more than 5 years. And this is all the more difficult to achieve that we are a heavyweight in the index, with over 10% weight in that index. And then finally, the different valuation ratios. The stock trades at 15.3 times the earnings, against an average of 17.4%, and then 1.86 times book value, which also values us at a good level compared to our peers. The dividend yields, if our dividend is confirmed by the General Assembly, puts us currently almost on par with the 10-year government bond in Morocco at 3.26. So thank you very much for your attention, and we're ready to listen to your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a telephone question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 for any telephone questions at this time. Our first question today comes from Josh Levin of Citi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Could you give us an update on your Pan-Africa expansion strategy? Where are you? What's your latest thinking on it? That's the first question.
Okay, should we answer now or take more questions? La stratégie panafricaine, où est-ce qu'on est et où est-ce qu'on va?
Excuse me, I speak in French and my colleague translate for you. Notre stratégie panafricaine, comme nous l'avons toujours souligné, elle a deux axes fondamentaux. C'est de transformer au standard du groupe les acquisitions et déployer une stratégie de développement organique parce qu'il y a un potentiel dans les pays qui nous ont accueillis, un potentiel très important en termes de bancarisation et d'équipement de la clientèle et diversification au titre des segments de clientèle, mais aussi développer les synergies avec les lignes de métiers spécialisées. Et à chaque fois que la banque est transformée, qu'elle engage un programme de croissance organique, les lignes de métiers spécialisées, que ce soit en interne, telles que les financements structurés, la banque transactionnelle, l'asset management, le corporate finance, se greffent aux activités de notre filiale africaine. Plus le déploiement des activités filialisées, telles que l'assurance, où nous avons fait nos premiers pas en Tunisie, et récemment au Sénégal, et pour développer le modèle de banque assurance qui a réussi au Maroc. Ça, c'est le premier axe, donc développement organique et implémentation des métiers spécialisés pour créer de la valeur au titre de la clientèle acquise.
So, first dimension of that growth is really based on the continuation of the transformation and the focus on organic growth in all the subsidiaries that we control. So that organic growth is coming from two main dimensions. One is making sure we accelerate and we are an actor of the additional penetration of financial services in the economy through careful segmentation and specific offering, specific commercial approach and go-to-market strategy in different segments. Another one has to do also with the synergies that we can extract from our other subsidiaries in Morocco, the specialized subsidiaries in Morocco, and the business lines in Morocco that can transfer products and know-how to our banking subsidiaries outside of Morocco. So, this is the big first dimension of our Pan-African strategy.
Et ça concerne la banque assurance avec Wafa Assurance. Ça concerne le crédit à la consommation à travers Wafa Telef, qui donne d'excellents résultats en Tunisie, au Sénégal, et nous sommes en train de travailler la Côte d'Ivoire. Le transfert de cash rapide, le modèle Wafa Cash, qui est en train de se déployer en Afrique subsaharienne, et le leasing, puisque nous sommes leaders au Maroc dans le leasing, et notre filiale de leasing accompagne un certain nombre de nos filiales en Afrique subsaharienne pour développer une offre de leasing, ainsi que le factoring.
So, to give you an example, just on these business lines, we have seen significant growth from bank insurance by having insurance licenses in a number of countries and in synergy with our existing banking licenses and introducing bank insurance, capturing very quickly market share. So, for instance, in Tunisia, we are already the leader in life insurance only two years after obtaining our insurance license. And because we based our distribution on the very strong distribution network that we have through the bank, there are clear examples of success for consumer credit, where in Tunisia and Senegal we've already set our position as the leader, both in terms of quality and price for those loans, and we've been able to capture market share, and now we're doing that also in Ivory Coast. In cash transfers, so in remittances, international remittances, but also domestic remittances to Wafa Cash that is now entering Western Africa and soon also Central Africa. We also have introduced leasing in a number of large markets like Ivory Coast, like Cameroon, like Senegal, with very good results. And now we're also deploying a factoring approach for large corporates. But the example can continue also coming from internal departments doing advisory work sometimes, or project finance, etc. So we see a very long line of potential synergies still to be unlocked.
Et comme nous sommes le premier collecteur d'épargne en français, en Afrique de l'Ouest et Afrique centrale, les activités de marché de capitaux sont en train de déployer un certain nombre d'activités pour être leader dans l'asset management et dans tout ce qui est activité des marchés des capitaux qui sont en cours d'approfondissement dans ces deux sous-régions.
We see also very good results of our strategy in capital markets and in asset management in those countries because of the fact that we have a very large deposit base in local currencies. We were able to introduce a number of services both to government and to institutional investors, and in fact creating even totally new industries and clearly capturing a very large part of those industries.
Le deuxième volet de notre stratégie africaine et qui a été validé par le conseil d'administration du groupe, c'est que nous souhaitons maintenant étudier des opportunités d'acquisition dans les pays en dehors de l'Afrique francophone. Et nous avons un certain nombre d'opportunités que nos équipes stratégie et développement avec notre banque d'affaires sont en train d'analyser sereinement pour prospecter de nouveaux marchés potentiellement porteurs pour les années à venir.
So the second dimension is external growth, where our board has already approved our strategy to continue expanding. Now that we are present in almost all French-speaking countries, it will be countries that are English-speaking, and we are currently exploring different opportunities, and we'll see what the results will be.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Tunde Ojo of Harding. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for the call. Three questions for me. The first is on your asset quality. The non-performing loans ratio has been going up. Just want to understand why that is the case. And also in relation to that, is that your provision has been coming down, which is kind of counterintuitive to me. So can you help me explain that divide? That's my first question. The second one is on your capital ratio. Your consolidated capital adequacy ratio is about 12.7%, and the minimum is 12. Is that enough to fund future growth for you? Are you comfortable with capital, or do you need to raise Tier 1 or Tier 2 capital in the short term? And the last is, can you please give guidance on your loan growth for 2016, your net interest margin, your cost to income, cost of risk, and fee income in 2016, please? Thank you.
Okay. Donc, trois questions. Pourquoi est-ce que la compensabilité augmente alors que la dotation en provision baisse? Ça paraît contre-intuitif. Pourquoi est-ce qu'on est aussi limite en ratio de solvabilité et qu'on pense qu'on va lever du tellement partout? Et quelles sont les orientations pour 2016 en termes de croissance des crédits, de marge d'intérêt, de croissance des charges?
Je vais démarrer par la dernière question. Je laisserai le soin à mon collègue, M. Douiri, pour répondre aux autres questions. Nous vous l'avons toujours dit et nous l'avons démontré, c'est que notre croissance, que ce soit au niveau des crédits ou au niveau de notre bilan, doit être toujours accompagnée par une gestion rigoureuse des risques. Nous avons donc accordé toujours une attention toute particulière à notre politique en matière de risques. Et les anticipations que nous avons effectuées nous ont confortés dans notre politique, puisque, comme ça a été dit lors de la présentation de Naïd Douiri, il y a certes la contraction globale du marché du crédit à l'économie hors pension, donc hors opérations financières particulières, mais Tijari Wafa Bank a anticipé sur des contreparties qui présentent des signes de difficulté importants. Nous avons allégé notre exposition de manière significative, puisque sur un certain nombre de contreparties, soit on est totalement absent, soit on est largement à moins de 10% de l'exposition par rapport à une part de marché naturel de 25%.
So, on the last question, on the guidance for 2016, it's important to note that we have always balanced growth versus risk, and that we've always been very forward-looking in terms of risk management, and every time we've done that, we have been right. So currently, we are in a situation where our exposure to the counterparties that we don't like, or at least that we think are potentially risky, they're not yet sometimes delinquent, and they're not yet NPLs with our competitors, for instance. Those large counterparties sometimes, we only have a market share of 10% maximum and sometimes 0%. So this is the current starting position of 2016.
Voilà. Partant de cette position qui nous est vraiment favorable au niveau du marché marocain, les équipes commerciales sont mobilisées aujourd'hui pour continuer notre stratégie de conquête du marché des crédits aux particuliers, notamment crédit à la consommation, crédit à acquéreur, à travers le réseau de la banque et en synergie avec nos deux usines de production que sont Wafa Salaf et Wafa Immobilier. Notre stratégie de conquête de la TPE et de l'équipement des très petites entreprises et une diversification de risques atomisés en matière de corporate sur les PME de taille moyenne ou de grande taille.
So, in Morocco, in 2016, growth will be focused, loan growth will be focused on individuals, so both on the consumer loans and on the mortgage, thanks to a very strong cooperation and synergy with our subsidiaries Wafa Salaf and Wafa Immobilier, but also focused on very small enterprises where we have a unique offering that is very competitive and based on a scoring system that was developed internally. And we haven't seen our competitors reply clearly as of yet. And also the continued growth and expansion into SME territory by making sure that we have a highly diversified and, I would say, fragmented portfolio of loans in the current environment in Morocco.
Et nos équipes financement structuré et project finance continuent à accompagner les grosses opérations en perspective en matière de financement de projets d'infrastructure, que ce soit ceux qui sont initiés par des organismes publics crédibles et solvables, que par des opérateurs internationaux dans le cadre de concessions publiques-privées.
On a separate note, our project finance team is working on a number of large infrastructure projects, often led either by competent local operators or sometimes international operators.
Et sur le plan africain, nos équipes aujourd'hui sont mobilisées, comme je l'ai dit tout à l'heure, pour déployer le programme, le plan d'action commercial qui vise à continuer l'effort de bancarisation, de captation de nouveaux clients et surtout l'équipement de la clientèle des particuliers, des PME-PMI, et l'accompagnement des grands projets d'infrastructure initiés par un certain nombre d'États d'Afrique subsaharienne grâce au concours des équipes spécialisées de Casablanca.
Outside Morocco, we continue to grow our portfolio in an environment where demand is healthy. and where in a number of countries there are very large projects that are initiated. Again, our teams from Casablanca are working with governments often in significant projects in the different countries where we're.
Donc les perspectives 2016, nous sommes optimistes en matière d'évolution et de croissance de nos activités, tout en continuant notre politique en matière d'efficacité opérationnelle, la maîtrise des coûts opérationnels et la maîtrise des risques.
So we're optimistic on the growth in the top line. Still very focused on controlling our costs and containing our risk. Now, for the other question on the capital, I will comment. I commented already the general roadmap to full implementation of Basel III. We are in a situation where our biggest market, Morocco, is not growing very fast, so it's not consuming capital. We are in a situation where we have built what we consider the right buffer, because it's the result of many different buffers that were put by the central bank. And we don't consider capital as a way to manage risk. It's just a requirement by the central bank in order to continue operating as a bank. So we feel very comfortable with the current level. We don't need to build it up. And there is no plan to raise Tier 1 from now to 2019, except if there is a large acquisition. A large acquisition means a departure from the existing or from the historic acquisitions that have been in the 20 to 50 million euros a year on average. For Tier 2, this is, I would say, permanent day-to-day work. We issued 1 billion dirham in December in Tier 2 at very good conditions with a spread of 80 to 90 basis points and maturities ranging between 7 and 10 years. We have some regulatory amortization of our Tier 2 that we will continue to replace over the coming year. I don't have any exact figure in terms of plans this year, but probably around 1 billion again. This year, we can give you a more precise projection. So this is for capital. I think for asset quality, I would like to ask Rachid Kitani, CFO, to explain what happened to the numerator and the denominator for NPL, and then also comment on the decrease on the cost of risk, of the amount of net provisions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dwiri. So regarding the NPL ratio, as Mr. Dwiri said earlier, the consolidated NPL ratio deteriorated from 6.8% in 2014 to 7.1%. So this increase came mainly from the bank in Morocco, as the NPL ratio increased from 5.3% to 6%, and this deterioration also came from the denominator, as the contribution of the bank in Morocco to the consolidated loans decreased by 5.5% between 2014 and 2015. So if you look at the amount of NPL in dirhams on a consolidated basis, so this amount of outstanding NPLs grew from 18 billion dirhams in 2014 to 19 billion dirhams by 5%, compared to 10% between 2013 and 2014. On the other hand, we significantly improved our coverage ratio, and the improvement of between December 2013 and December 2014 was much higher than the increase between December 2015 and 2014. And you can look at the figures at page 18. And it explains why coverage increased while cost of risk decreased in 2015.
Thank you. We'll move to our next question. This comes from Hela Romdani of Alpha Mina. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Please go ahead, caller. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. Please, I would like to know how sensitive you are, or let's say how impacted you are to the oil price drop. And here I would like to know more about the future non-performing rates for the Moroccan market as well for the Tunisian market. And I would like to know what your reaction will be. Are you planning to have a higher coverage rate for the future and the upcoming years? Thank you.
Quelle est notre exposition par rapport au prix du pétrole, la baisse du prix, quel impact ça a sur la qualité de l'investissement? Quels sont les NPL au Maroc et en Tunisie? Et est-ce qu'on pense qu'on va augmenter la couverture de le taux de couverture? Ils ont l'habitude souvent, par exemple, en Égypte, ils ont l'habitude de voir 180%.
Pour ce qui est de la baisse du pétrole, nous ne finançons pas ni les activités d'exploration, ni les activités industrielles pétrolifères ou gazières en Afrique. Nous participons dans le financement de la seule raffinerie au Maroc qui connaît des difficultés, mais sur l'ensemble des banques qui sont exposées sur la raffinerie, nous sommes largement les moins exposés, et là aussi c'est en liaison avec l'anticipation, et nous avons une provision en face de notre exposition. Donc, sur ce plan-là, la banque est complètement immunisée contre cette nature d'activité.
So, on oil-related lending, we don't finance upstream in nowhere in our different geographies. We finance downstream actors, in particular in Morocco, with usually those actors have a very strong balance sheet and very careful
working capital.
Careful management, and it's only about working capital. And we take part in the financing of the only oil refinery in Morocco, but over there our exposure is much lower than our natural market share. It's one of those loans that we mentioned earlier as loans from which we were already withdrawing for the past 18 months. And that participation is already provisioned in our books for a very large part. So that's the oil exposure. For NPLs in Morocco and Tunisia, I think we have given Morocco.
In Morocco, regarding the bank in Morocco, NPS ratio is at 6.1% in 2015, increasing from 5.4% in 2014. And regarding Tunisia, we have seen an improvement of NPL ratio from 7.5% in 2014 to 6.8% in 2015.
And then for the coverage, we have no intention to increase or decrease the coverage ratio. In fact, it's not a driver for us in terms of management, because as I said, the provisioning is really bottom-up. It's really based on the strict application of IFRS rules and the careful and permanent review of all our portfolio on a case-by-case basis. So whenever it's already a delinquent loan, it is in the NPL, and we apply specific rules depending on the size of the loan. And when it's not, there are also watch lists that are provisioned according to likelihood of default and likelihood of recovery. We have historically been around these levels. We've been building up a little bit our coverage ratio, mostly because we've seen a deterioration in the speed of collection that is continuing to slow down, in particular in Morocco. So this has an immediate impact on the discounted collections that we build into our models to compute our provision.
Thank you. For any further questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. That's star 1 for any further telephone questions. As there are now no further questions in the queue, I would like to hand back to our speakers today for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Attention. I would like to mention that we, as a continued investment in our investor relations initiatives, we significantly improved our dedicated website to investor relations. So it's www.ir.atijariwafa.com. And it's also accessible from our main website under investor relation link. It has everything that's public about Atijari Wafa, including a summary in English of our filings with the CDVM, now AMMC, the stock exchange regulator of Morocco. And so that you have at your disposal all the information that you may need, and any comments on the quality of that website will be most welcome as we continue to improve it and translate it into French and Arabic in the coming months. So we decided to launch it in English as a first step, because we acknowledge the lack of sufficient financial information in English out of Morocco. So thank you again for your attention, and back to Elena.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Ketani and Mr. Douiri, for your time and for the detailed presentation, and thank you everyone for joining the call today. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That will now conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.